This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, 1 hour to go, 60 minutes left of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. Roughnecks 2-0, All-Star Weekend behind us. Rockets off until the end of the week as they get a nice little break. We were talking about a lot of things running the gamut today, but obviously All-Star Weekend, the Roughnecks, the Texans, football, lots of things, and of course the Astros scandal. Big news as well that may or may not, and if you're a Texans fan still, you may hope that it does affect the Texans, and that is there's a couple of defensive backs that are now out there on the open market, either via trade or free agency, that you're hoping Bill O'Brien, the general manager, at least reaches out to see what the deal is. The Lions now are out there and letting people know they have spoken to multiple teams about trading their all-world corner, Darius Slay. Part of the prerequisite is that whoever gets Slay is going to have to give up a draft pick or so, which I don't think if the Texans have any left, they don't have a problem giving up a second to do so. But they also have to give him an extension, which we don't know if they're willing to spend that way. But we know that they have to based on if they're going to make the team better. And the other one is Josh
Norman
from the Redskins out there as after being cut by Washington, a guy that a few years ago was considered to be one of the best defensive backs in football. He's now a free agent after a less than stellar run of it with in D.C. with the Skins. Probably comes a little cheaper. Don't have to give up a draft pick to get him. But I would think that obviously they have issues we've mentioned financially that they have to worry about down the road because they have to sign Deshaun to a long-term deal. They have the deal that they have to get done with Tunsil that wasn't done at the time of the trade. But both guys could definitely help them upgrade their secondary.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Bill O'Brien, you know, if they could make a deal that's compelling enough to the Lions to get someone like Darius Slay. He's in his final year of his four-year, $48 million contract, and there's been reports, as Adam Schefter has, I think you're the one who brought up the Adam Schefter tweet earlier, saying that they're shopping him and they're considering a trade. He's been with that team for 7 years, so you got a guy that's healthy, who's experienced, 29 years old, you know, could be a good opportunity. You just don't know where Bill O'Brien's head's at. You don't know what, you know when he likes his player, he likes his player, and he tends to stick to it, and there's no doubt. I mean, you saw what McNair said when they gave him the extension. He gave him that role to more actively reflect what their roles were. And really, Bill O'Brien wasn't just a coach. He was a GM, and he had his hands deep into the roster and who's actually going to be playing for this team. So I like the Darius Slay situation if Bill O'Brien can make a compelling enough of a trade to the Lions. I don't know if they can do that.
You know he wants top dollar. So I would say that to say that based on how the Texans have handled free agency in the past, it's the wham-bam quick hits trying to get a guy on a one-year deal cheap as opposed to what Slay's going to want to get to because, you know, he's going to be probably talking about top five corner money, and I don't know that they can afford to do that with JJ's contract and all the other issues that they have coming up. So I would think that Josh Norman would be the guy that they look at first before because you got rid of Hargraves already. You're looking to do some things. You know that there's a school of thought that Roby is gone. Hearing what Lance has said, that he's looking for somewhere else, although he's leaving the door open. We talk about Chris Harris Jr. is a guy that's out there that I've said over and over again they should look at, who's played with Roby in the past. And if you could do a lot worse than if you had Roby and Chris Harris Jr. But if you're just looking to find a good fit, I hope they're at least one of those teams that have picked up the phone to call the Lions, and I hope they're one of the teams that have called Josh Norman's agent and said, we'd like to talk and see what it's going to take, and do you want to win? Because they have enough around the situation that if you're Norman, I get out of Washington, and at least I get with the team that made the playoffs with a chance to win.
Yeah, you at least make that phone call. And look, Darius Slay, like you said, you make a good point. It's probably going to be a situation where the team has to sign him to the point where he doesn't, he inks a deal where he's not hitting the open market again. That's kind of the approach that you have to take with Darius Slay. So at least make the phone call and see, make that consideration and see if this is a possibility that you can add. Jonathan Joseph has been, you know, his longevity with the Texans has been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they need to soon.
So I don't know if they're actually going to pull the trigger on that and consider that, but it'd be interesting to see. We all can agree that we love Jonathan Joseph, but he lost a step. Is it fair to say?
Define the love. I think he's been an effective player for the most of his career here, but he's definitely more on the downside than basically at the bottom of the hill.
Right.
I don't know if I love him, but I would love him if he was a retired or a Texans player, a Texans ex.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just think we can all agree that he's lost a step.
Oh, for sure. That's no argument.
Yeah.
Right. All right, in other Texans news, in case you missed it, this was kind of like literally one of the best-kept secrets that no one saw coming. J.J. Watt and Kalia Ojai tied the knot this weekend. They got there, and if you look at it, they got the judge here locally's help to get the marriage license pushed through. Then they shuffled on off to the Bahamas, where this weekend they made it official and tied the knot.
How does your honeymoon even feel special if your man is J.J. Watt? Because you've probably been to the Bahamas 17 times if your guy's J.J. Watt, right? Like, how do you make it extra special? Their wedding is probably going to be amazing. That's probably like the big, it's probably going to be private, but.
I think that's it. I think they were able to keep it secret. They were able to get it done without everybody meddling in their business. They did it between seasons for both of them because she did play, obviously, here in Houston, professional soccer. Now she's playing in Chicago. And the fact that you could keep it relatively private. You didn't do it in Houston where everybody be buzzing about it and hovering around whatever they had heard. And if you're going to the wedding, it's Brian Cushing introduced him. I mean, is it a tough sell to, hey, Cush, you and your girl, can you meet us in the Bahamas for the wedding? Yeah, I can be there. I think it's probably a good deal. And she knows. If they're happy, they're happy. And the bottom line is, that's one of the deals that you have to deal with when you're J.J. Watt and you're making $100 million.
Yeah, I mean, you're the $100 million man at the Houston Texans. You've got a beautiful wife. She's a professional athlete as well. I mean, look, I don't think their life is too bad, so good for them. Yeah, good for them.
There you go. So there is your update on some NFL and football things. If you're looking for a safety in the Texans, I don't think you are, but the Ravens also cut veteran safety Tony Jefferson on Friday, saving $7 million in cap space. So he's out there as well, but I think that's one that they'll probably look past, but they maybe hopefully will look at the corners as they move forward. So we've got plenty more of the show still to get to.
We still
got
to get to that Rockets discussion that I want to
fight. Let's do it next.
I want to fight you.
You want to fight me.
Fight you about, I should say.
And we will get into it because it's a situation that we can definitely have a good discussion on because of the fact that Adam Silver met the media as part of All-Star Weekend. And one of the comments that he made and some of the stats he dropped, interesting stuff. You know what else is interesting? If you have any issues going on with your roof right now and you're looking for a company that can handle it, well, I'm here to tell you Fitz Roofing is the place to go. Fitz Roofing, locally owned and operated, not like the storm chasers, deposit thieves, and sketchy roofers that come to your door, take your money up front, and then don't do the work that they're supposed to do. Fitz is the exact opposite. They take care of you every step of the way. So much so, A+ rating, Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook at Home Advisor. There's only one place to call anything roofing-wise, and it's Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com. Or better yet, call them, 832-521-3001, and get your free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. You call, they come to you, tell you what they can do, and they go back to doing their work. If you want them to come back, just reach back out. They're going to come back, take care of you before, during, and after the sale, and do fantastic work using the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles. They are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company, and only 1% of the roofers in the U.S. meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Simply put, their base warranties longer and better than your average roofer. If you need roofing work done, there's only one place. It's Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing making a difference, one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, Rockets fans, let's get into a little discussion as it relates to post All-Star and the commissioner who spoke to the media as part of All-Star Weekend and mentioned that the NBA is down a couple hundred million dollars when it comes to revenues based out of Asia and China. It reverts back to, in my mind, Daryl Morey's tweet and the firestorm that was started. If you don't believe me, I will retweet this, but I had been sent this by several people. During the coverage in China of All-Star Weekend, they had a graphic on the on the monitor behind the two television announcers featuring all of the All-Stars, or a majority of them. James Harden was there. They just whited out the word Rockets on the uniform. Didn't touch anybody else's. And it shows you that it's lingering. It's still there. And in my mind, Nick, and we were talking about this during the meeting before the show, in my mind, that is squarely on Daryl Morey's shoulders. And it's not a good look if your team's general manager, we were talking about a lot of the negativity surrounding a lot of the professional teams in Houston, your team's general manager is basically personally responsible for the league taking a massive, massive hit revenue-wise. And also locally, as it pertains to the team itself and the ownership group with Tillman Fertitta, the Asian sponsors that were part of the Rockets, family of sponsors, once the tweet went out, pulled out $7 to $8 million worth of sponsorships for the Rockets. That's a huge, huge deal.
It is. It is. He said, I saw the quotes and I saw what he said about what the league is going to lose. And ultimately he said, look, the magnitude's going to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, but it's most probably going to be less than $400 million in terms of lost revenue. And the point I was making to you before the show was that's a fraction of the revenue that the NBA lost. That's a fraction of what one team is worth. The average team is worth somewhere in the ballpark of $1.8, $1.9 billion. There's not a single team in the league, I think, that's worth less than a billion. I might be wrong on that, but I know the average is 1.8. You're talking about a fraction. The other thing that Daryl Morey has working for him is the fact that it's going to be a bad look on Adam Silver if he decide, or Tillman Fertitta, if the reason of him being fired is because of that tweet.
Well, but they'll never say that publicly.
Exactly.
It'll be about personnel decisions.
Right. And a year or two down the road, if that's the decision that the NBA or Tillman Fertitta wants to make and he wants to move on from Daryl Morey, it's going to be easier to give a reason because they're, what, now 1 year or 6 months removed from that tweet? How long ago was that tweet?
It was this year.
It was right before the season.
It was last year. It was during
the preseason trip to China.
It wasn't this year.
Yes, it was preseason this year.
Yeah, it was preseason.
Not 2020. 2019 preseason.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
2019 preseason. This season.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, if they obviously are not going to say that. We've talked about this before. They're not going to fire him based on the fact that he made that tweet because it'd be a terrible move. But at the same time, it's still a fraction. And so, is it a bad look for Daryl Morey? Absolutely. Now he knows, you know, when you're dealing with other countries, that there's a different culture. There's a culture clash, and maybe you don't say everything.
But Nikki, fair points you made. But here's the thing. So you're saying it's a fraction. So, but we've already learned with how professional sports owners operate, right? And when we went with the NFL with all the kneeling scandal and all the different things they did, the bottom line was the bottom line. That's what they were most focused on when they found out people were boycotting games, not buying gear, not buying tickets, staying away from the team and all of its entities. That was affecting the bottom line, and that was a huge concern. So if you talk about the fact that the revenues are split up amongst all the ownership to all the different teams, and the teams that worry about every dollar. So you say it's a fraction, but if I'm an owner of a team, whether it be in Cleveland or Milwaukee or otherwise, and I'm looking at why we didn't get the return on investment this year in terms of and the revenue sharing that we're supposed to get, and you look at it and go, well, okay, I'd love to say that it was eight different general managers that joined in on something that cost us some money, but it's one guy and one deal. And that guy right now, if you're Tillman Fertitta, who already has other business ventures going on in which he was very, very quick to react to it, the initial tweet, because he knew it would affect him personally on other business fronts. And you look at his contract, and it's massive for a general manager to think that a guy's got a 5-year, 40-some million dollar deal. But if you also think on top of that, I'm paying this guy, and oh, by the way, he just cost me 7 or 8 million sponsorship just for my own team, as well as whatever it's costing me league-wide, that's when you start doing checks and balances going, is he worth what I'm paying him, and all, as opposed to all the damage I'm getting because he's associated with my team.
Yeah, and he's going to have to make that decision. And look, I like Forbes because every year they do like an evaluation of each team and how much they're worth and how much revenue that they generate. Going into this season, every single team has gone up in terms of their worth. I think the Rockets was 11 or 12%. I think I have it up right now in terms of, and it's the Knicks, for whatever reason, despite not being a good team, has been the number one team in terms of worth for the past four seasons. They just...
Location, location, location.
But Forbes says that the New York Knicks went up 11%. The Golden State Warriors went up 13%. I think the Houston Rockets went up worth 12% going into this season.
Right.
So going into next season, if those numbers significantly drop, I think that works for your argument. Tillman Fertitta could be like, you know what?
Now let's
you might not be worth it. You might not be worth it.
Here's the other thing, Nick. When you take that Forbes article and take it a step further and look at teams that have profited the most out of making money in Asia, you think about you went from Yao Ming to Lin Sanity with Jeremy Lin.
Yep.
To the standpoint of from jersey sales to the fact that most of the Rockets players during those years, because they capitalized on the fact that, you know, they were playing with a guy that was very popular over there, they got shoe deals from Anta and Li Ning and all these different new startup companies based in Asia. So they were getting extra revenue there. They were sponsoring the team because of it. And then you look at the TV ratings. And I told you my personal experiences with making sure the NBA broadcasts somewhere between 50 and 60 Rockets games a year in China and across Asia. Why? Because on any given night, the audience for a Rockets game over there was, and I'm not making this up, 50 plus million people watching. That's why the Rockets, when you talk about your city team, your city jersey, there's a damn good reason why that team was in Chinese lettering. There's a reason why the scorer's table, when you didn't know what it said, unless you were bilingual, it was Chinese lettering for most nights at Toyota Center. Because of the fact that these people were putting all their cash up going, who cares if we get extra benefit from the United States? We know that because the NBA is broadcasting these games over here, we're killing it. Money-wise. Yeah.
And China, CCTV, the Chinese television platform in China, which is state-run, run by the country, has not aired their games. And that's a big blow.
It's the same reason why the graphic for CCTV this weekend was with a Harden jersey, Harden in a uniform, with no Rockets mentioned on the jersey.
I don't see China. They're not going to pull back from their stance anytime soon. So... And I think they're trying to make a statement. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get guys like Adam Silva and Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey to go up there and stroke their ego and apologize. And I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that they're open to continuing the relationship, obviously because the NBA would like that revenue back. But they're not going to go over there and stroke their ego and say, you know what? We're wrong. We apologize. Just please do business with us. They're just going to hope that they can linger this out long enough to the point where the Chinese change their mind and say, you know what, we are going to start airing these games again. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I guarantee you that's the approach. Because Adam Silver has been very consistent in the fact that they're not being apologetic towards
them. We need to look at that, Nick, because I think they're airing the games. They're just not airing Rockets games.
Right,
I think
that's what I meant.
Yeah. That's another thing where Tillman's going to go and look at this and going, well, you know, the personnel hasn't exactly been what I wanted it to be in the last couple of years. And on top of that, I can get our games back on CCTV and across Asia if I make a move. And basically, because it's not like in other instances where you could say it's the whole basketball operations department or it's this group of people or this team, whatever like that. This is firmly on one guy's shoulders, and it's not just the Rockets issue. It's a league issue.
So, and you're right. And I would argue, though, Tillman Fertitta will probably be more likely to kind of to work with CCTV. Maybe even makes, in so many words, have an indirect apology and try to, because he's a businessman. Let's be real. Tillman Fertitta is a real businessman. Adam Silver as the face, or at least the commissioner of the league, I think that would be a bad look if he went over there and started apologizing just to get the business back, if that became public.
But again, he doesn't have to if Tillman does
the work for him.
Yeah, or does something to him himself.
Well, if he starts acting like that, then that I think that helps your case.
But
your
I
argument.
Think if you're Adam Silver, the easy way out for the league is to go, look, this was just one guy representing one team of the 30 teams in our league. We are here to tell you that the other 29 teams aren't going to do this, and we want to do whatever we can. We've tried to do the recon necessary to make it right with the Rockets, but at the same time, don't punish all 29 other teams with all those superstars that are hyper popular over here that make appearances in the offseason, and let's work through this and get the Chinese government to kind of see it as a work in progress as opposed to a cut and dried no.
Yeah. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because we all know like the economy over there is doing, they can probably stop airing Rockets games for two or three seasons straight, and they'll be fine. Like, I don't think it's going to hurt China in terms of their revenue. I mean, they're probably losing money, too.
The Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks are the top three teams in the league, and Vegas says so. There's plenty of teams and plenty of superstar attraction on those teams that are going to carry most games that are going to be seen over there. It's, again, it's another way it's going to affect the Rockets more so than any other team, because now people are going to see those games. They're going to want a Giannis jersey or a LeBron jersey or an AD jersey or a Kawhi jersey. They're going to follow the games more, buy that gear. When they come over to the States, they're going to want tickets to those games. And the Rockets are going to take it in the shorts.
Yeah, they are. But look, the NBA has been viewed as one of the more innovative leagues in the country. All right, they do really well with coming up with new ideas, and they're just going to have to find new channels of revenue, man. If they can't fix this situation, and that's the reason why I wasn't, you know, that's why I'm, and a lot of you suspects have heard Barry Laminack and I go at it about the Mandarin jersey, the Mandarin lettering on the jerseys, but that's the reason why they were protecting that so much. Because that revenue, just from that one channel of revenue meant so much to the Houston Rockets. So I'm sure there's some uncomfortable discussions that Daryl Morey might have had with Tillman Fertitta. Because at the end of the day, he's still feeling it in his pocketbook. And no businessman wants to feel that. Even if it is a fraction. I make the point of it being a fraction. Because you have to remember, just to put this in even more perspective, and it does kind of go against what you were saying, $400 million of what? All teams generate $8 billion.
Sure.
So the money that they lost
as a cheap, Nick, they want every penny.
But my point is, it's $400 million across the entire league. So for the Rockets, their loss is even a fraction of that, you know? And look, but I'm not necessarily
but
saying.
But I localized it for you too by saying just right from the jump, the minute the tweet went out there, they lost $8 million in sponsorship revenue because all the Asian companies pulled out. They cut ties with the Rockets.
Yeah. Well,
so there's eight right off the top just for the Rockets, not shared across
all those
teams.
Off the Rockets only, you mean?
Yeah, off their books only. Yeah.
Yeah, they said $8 billion as an entire league, so that's a lot of money. I mean, $8 billion is what they generate.
Their revenue, yeah. Their profits.
It's still a lot of money. Look, even though it's a fraction, I don't want to lose $400 million.
That's
I like
saying.
Money.
If that was your squad, and you would you be talking about from a perspective of going, it's just a fraction?
No, I wouldn't. Right. And I totally see what you're saying, and I don't want to sound like, oh, whatever, It's stupid money. They can make that up easily. But at the same time, you do have to put it in perspective. I don't know when Adam Silver, I didn't hear the tone of his voice when he mentioned it. I just don't get any like.
I think Adam
I don't
Silver,
get the feeling that he's incredibly angry at
Daryl
Morey.
Adam Silver learned from David Stern, which is publicly you won't hear that tone, but privately you will hear a whole lot more.
I can see that.
Because David Stern set this league up for success by capitalizing on building relationships outside of this country. They're in jeopardy in China, and that hurts.
That's how all leagues make their money. Television deals, ticket sales, and relationships that they have outside
and
the country.
And merchandise and sponsorships.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to continue to roll on. We've got a half hour to go on the show. If you want to join in on the discussion, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. And, of course, hit us up on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Tyler Drew Scott. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
10.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Tyler in for Nick, Nick in for Barry, and yours truly, Joel, taking you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7, as we always tell you to do. If you miss any part of the show today, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page. And the menu will drop down, and you can catch up on the hours that you missed. While you're there on the front page, you can also follow the instructions to download the app to take us anywhere, everywhere, and listen to not only our show, but every show, every day on ESPN 975.
Ding.
There's your ding, and you're filling in for Barry, so you're supposed to go, do it.
Word.
Or those is that all, either those, one of those?
Those are all words of the great Laminack.
Yes.
Who will be back on Wednesday.
Yes. I don't even know. I think he's still in town. He's not traveling for comedy. I think he's just hanging out, taking some vacation time.
Getting some, just recharging the batteries.
Yeah. As we said, quotes still coming in as guys report. J.D. Martinez thinks the Astros bashing is a bit much. He came out at camp today and said, I understand players' frustrations and stuff like that, but I think, in my opinion, it's already getting a little bit too much. You know why? Because they haven't heard what's coming their way yet.
Yeah.
And they're next in line on who wants to be a cheater and get caught.
Look, I imagine a lot of these players that are talking so much right now, they are genuinely upset, so maybe it's the emotions that's getting, but you have the emotions that's getting the best of them, but you have to realize that there's more information to come out. Like, I don't see how that's not common sense to a lot of these players. But look, they're going to come out. There's still going to be more quotes. I mean, I'm really looking forward to going to that first home game just to see the vibe of the clubhouse in person myself. I haven't had an opportunity to do it this year, and I haven't gone to any of the media availabilities this season, going into the season. But I want to see their vibes. You know, right now they look kind of uncomfortable. You know,
they
Jose
do.
Altuve, Carlos Correa going on his little rant. You know, I think Jake Mariznick, you said he apologized as well.
He did when it was at Mets camp. He pulled the line that a lot of people are using. I wish I would have done more.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many more players that could be attached to this. You got to be careful, in my opinion. That's my ultimate opinion on this. But look, I just can't wait. I think Rob Manfred, I really hope the rumors are at the end of this week is when the decision might be coming down on the Boston Red Sox, correct?
Right. That's what everything that
I really
I've
hope.
Read.
I really hope that it happens by like the middle of the week, like Wednesday.
Well, the time is now because you kind of want to get it out there and get whatever feedback and backlash you're going to get as quickly as possible before you get into meaningful games in the regular season. You've mentioned the fact that he's trying to get out in front of teams going at headhunting against Astros players and trying to hit him as retaliation. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's going to be effective or if teams are just going to say, no, we're still doing what we're going to do. We know that Trevor Bauer, a pitcher, has come out and been very, very critical of the commissioner. Now Justin Turner of the Dodgers, very, very critical of the commissioner, saying you're really out of touch if you think it's just a piece of metal, meaning the trophy, instead of all the things that go with a title. I heard, of all people, Dan Orlovsky on one of the ESPN shows this morning saying that the Astros should have been banned from postseason play from anywhere from 1 to 3 years, and Stephen A. somewhat backing that up. And I'm like, this is professional sports. It isn't the NCAA. That's just not something that you do.
No, no. And then you saw the other, if it was another, someone else from ESPN that was saying, do not, that the teams, the road team should not show up, should forfeit every road game that they have against the Astros. They would be 81-0 on the road, but...
No. She said, it's an ESPN national writer, and she said she was brought, a player brought this to her to see what she thought, but the idea was the all teams forfeit all games in Houston against the Astros. I thought she said on the road.
Well, the teams that are on the road. My bad. Yeah. I should have been more clear
about that. So that they would lose all the revenue. Well, the bottom line is they'd make the playoffs. The Astros could do something with a concert and a scrimmage, an inter-squad scrimmage or something like that. I really believe the city's so passionate about sticking with them on this, they'd still show up.
Yeah, I just don't get the rationale behind it. I think it's a dumb move by other teams if they really decided to do that. I mean, it makes no sense. And don't they already have the revenue from ticket sales at that point? If the Astros show up,
the ticket holders have the option of asking for a refund.
Okay.
If the game isn't played.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it would have to be that they would be willing to forfeit that or say that in exchange for the games, whatever the Astros would try and plan to do would be adequate enough to where they wouldn't want to get that money back.
So I guess the point of their argument is that if teams that played in Houston did really not play and forfeit, it would give more leverage to the Houston Astros ticket.
Hit them where it hurts, the bottom line, and say that if they had to refund all that money, they'd be losing money, and that's where ownership really would be hit hard and be affected most, and that's what they were suggesting. So
I don't know. I guess some people are saying, you know, you're kind of one of them, that the $2 million fine that was...
Five, I think it was.
Or $5 million fine was not that big. Was not big enough.
I don't
think
it's that big of a
deal. And perhaps doesn't hurt Jim Crane's pocketbook as much as it should. I've heard that argument.
Yeah, I really believe that.
And maybe that's the case. But that's a decision Rob Manfred has to make. I think they surpassed the maximum you can be fined anyway. There was a maximum that you can be fined in the MLB, and I think they surpassed that, right? Am I wrong in that assumption? Wasn't it $2 million? Wasn't that
$2 million was supposed to be the max, but they found some way to be able to fine him $5 million. And I'm sure Crane was fine with it because of the fact that he was trying to be somewhat easy to work with on this, because if he pushed back too much, like we said, he was exonerated from all guilt when he could have been in the center of all this and really had a bad look. So I'm sure that once the initial report came out, he realized he wasn't a part of it. That's probably one of the reasons why he didn't appeal.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, especially if he's lying. I don't know if he is. This is a speculation. Especially if he's lying, you don't want to show any resistance. Like, if he's lying and he really did know about the electronic sign stealing, then you really don't want to show any resistance. Just pay out. Just write the check. Just write the check and pay. I don't know what would happen to Jim Crane if they did find out. I mean, I guess that would be a Rob Manfred move.
Well, P. Randizzle said if they would actually go through and do something like that and forfeit the games in Houston, he loves that idea. He said the fans would show up and have a mass party for every win, complete with a concert, drink specials. Local clubs would also prosper, but Cubs, Red Sox, and Yankee fans would have to actually travel more to see their favorite teams. I say do it, 81-0 at home. See, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, though. Unlike Rockets, and we've talked about this over and over, that there's this kind of, we'll see attitude with the Rockets. And until playoff time, people don't care. This has just fired up the fandomonium even more to be more vigorously attached to this Astros team.
And I've seen two tweets already. I think one from our boy Philpott. You remember David Philpott, yes, right? And the other one was from Michael Pearson, who was an executive producer here on this fourth floor for a long time. And they both said, you know what? This whole scandal might actually bring more eyeballs to the sport because of all the drama that people want to see. So I think there's some truth to that. You know, I think there's some truth to the fact that people are really excited to see Alex Bregman break down or the Astros apologize or lose their cool, because if they're not an Astros fan, why would you not want to see that?
Well, remember now, and I think ESPN would never admit this, but remember the Astros national TV appearances before the season, way back in like December, it was rumored that the schedule came out and the Astros were not on national TV very much. So you can't tell me that baseball didn't tip off the networks going, there's going to be some things where you might not want to do this. But now, to your point, which is a great one, it might be more compelling than ever for teams around the nation, especially those that don't have baseball teams in their city, to want to watch the Astros games just to see if there's going to be drama.
The second that any of these camera operators see something, like these camera operators are that work for the MLB Network or ESPN, the second they see anything controversial in the locker room or on the field, you don't think they're turning that camera
Think about it. Fights in the stands.
Oh.
Guys getting hit. Astros players getting hit. You know, plays at second base or otherwise where jawing starts or something starts in the media and then it carries over onto the field. It's going to be must-see TV when the Astros do play, and that's why the networks made a mistake if they thought that it would be not worth putting out there.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think there's a lot of truth to those tweets, and I think other people have been tweeting it too. I just didn't think of that. But yeah, the drama alone is something you can look for. There's a lot, like we said, Alex Bregman. There's a lot of people who are not Houston Astros fans that do not like Alex Bregman. They think he's cocky. They think he's fake sometimes. We were listening to his apology and we thought he was reading a script, when in reality he was just speaking from the heart, you know?
He's on the fast track of that James Harden popularity thing.
I know. That's not, I don't know why. He doesn't come off as cocky as a lot of the other superstars that I've seen in this league too. So I don't see why people are so... We mentioned that strut that he has. Mm-hmm. He does have a little bit of a strut when he walks, then, especially when he's had a good game. But still, like,
he homers. He does the Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well, someone brings up an interesting point. Away teams in baseball get a share of the profit from road game ticket sales and TV. So that would hurt the road team. Now TV for maybe at the end of the year, but everybody has their own local TV deal. So and the team, obviously, the point being made that the team coming to Houston would be televising that game, and if there was no game to televise,
that would hurt them too. So it doesn't make
sense. Point. Yeah, so that's a good point.
That's a real good point, because I don't see any teams doing that just for that reason alone.
Chase came in and said, just won Sabercats tickets as a loyal suspect. I can't thank you guys enough. Keep up the great work. So we appreciate you appreciating us.
Thanks
there you
for
go
listening,
with that.
Sir.
Joel and Nick killing it today. Great discussions. We appreciate that as well. And someone said, Rockets are boring. Same team, just new pieces every season. What new player is Morey going to get next season to try and keep hope alive? The window is closed.
It's going to be really even tougher for him this time, because now you've got how many
draft picks? You're running out of draft picks. You don't have assets to go get you someone that's going to make this team better.
Yeah, and we've talked about the struggles. Some people want to play for the Rockets. Some stars want to play for the Rockets, but there's some stars that just did not want to play in Houston. So that's another struggle he has to deal with. So it just makes that pool even smaller. And now James Harden has played with two superstars with no championship ring. So I could see, I mean.
That doesn't keep hope alive. But I'm willing to say that this next story that we're going to finish with, Nick, might keep hope alive for you and you alone, as well as other people.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there's some good hope coming your way, possibly. We'll talk about it next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's out. Nick's in today and tomorrow. We appreciate Mr. Sciarra filling in admirably, as he always does when Barry's out and I'm here. Tyler, we appreciate you as well filling in for Nick, because without you, there wouldn't be him on this side of the glass. Just kind of housekeeping along the way before we get to this final story that, Nick, I think is going to impact you severely one way or the other, and I'm interested to get your reactions here. Someone said that Jim Crane and his son is going to be the demise of the Houston Astros. I tend to not agree with that. I think Jim Crane personally won't be, although I know he's getting a lot of flack for the fact that he said that he never said that after he had just said that in terms of, you know, affecting the 2017 World Series. But I do think that the negativity surrounding the team right now brings a lot more negative light on this entire parting of the ways with Reed Ryan and then Nolan and that whole thing. That's a bad look, because in part, Nolan was a legendary piece of your history, a guy that when he went to the Rangers, people despised the fact that he was there instead of here. The triumphant homecoming. Then you get his son, who had done great things in baseball business-wise throughout the minor leagues, comes back and has done so much good in terms of the business operations of this franchise. And then all of a sudden, one fall swoop, they're both gone. I think that's a bigger negative that's going to be noticeable throughout the year, and it may come up more and more as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, the Ryan family situation, that's just sad. We played some of Nolan Ryan's audio when they first made the decision to move on from them. And he seemed very disappointed. There was something, I think, that went on behind the scenes, either between him and Luhnow or between him and Crane, that probably didn't go that well. I think there was some tension there.
Well, so, he basically demoted his son.
Right.
And I think as a father figure, if nothing else, he's pissed.
Sure, sure. He's upset. I mean, I can understand that. In terms of the texter or the caller or the tweeter that talked about Jim Crane being the demise of the Astros, I agree with you, Joel. I don't think he's going to be the demise of the Astros, because he's been way too proactive about this situation. He's been in communication with Rob Manfred. He's been in communication with all the MLB officials that he needs to. He's had conference calls. He's had in-person discussions with the major people in Major League Baseball. And he's been nothing but proactive. He went above and beyond what they were asking for in terms of a punishment. And he went ahead and fired A.J. Hinch and Luhnow. And so there's no way he's going to be the demise of the Astros, because he's been too proactive about the situation.
Well, a lot of people say that, too, because of the fact that with the demotion of Reed Ryan and then with Nolan leaving,
that they could be
the rumor is rampant that he's going to make his son the president of the team, and that he has been being groomed for that position, much like Tillman is supposedly doing with the basketball team, that at some point his son is going to be taken over as president of the team because he's going to inherit the team someday. Look, the one thing that you can't argue with is, whether you like it or not, these guys with all this money, they own the team. They have the right to do whatever the hell they want, however they want to do it. That's right, because it's their business. They ride with the highs. They take the lows. And if they want their family to be more personally hands-on involved in it, look at the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. You know, Lamar Hunt's son is the president of the team and the controlling ownership interest. But before he took over for his dad and his dad passed, he was in the front office of the team. The buses with the Lakers, with Jeannie Buss and her brothers all being involved in the Lakers. If you own the team, it's your prerogative to do whatever you want.
But do you feel like there's more than just that reason as to why they're upset, though? I mean, if that's the sole reason why he made that move and he demoted Ryan, can you really be mad at Jim Crane for wanting his son to be there? Like,
No, but I think it's at what price? I mean, if it's at the price of a bad look for the Ryan family for all that Nolan's done for this franchise, I think it's going to have an adverse effect from a fan's perspective because they love Nolan. I mean, and then when you talk about it from McCullers to Verlander to Cole last year to all the guys that say, my idol and my hero is sitting behind home plate every night I pitch, and the fact that I'm able to tap into him as a resource nightly at home games when he's with the team in the clubhouse, by the field, and whatever, is just so huge, and it's awesome, and it's all these positives, and now suddenly he's not there. Not only that, but from a fan base perspective, you could send Nolan to a Whataburger as opposed to Jake Marisnyk or, you know, Max Stassi or whoever you were sending out there in the past, and the line would be 10 times to 100 times more because he's a legend in this community.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, you see Nolan Ryan's name all over Minute Maid Park for a reason. He's obviously a legend. He's obviously really respected. He is definitely going to lose out on what he can gain from like Nolan Ryan appearances and going to Whataburgers and stuff like that. But maybe that's not worth it when it comes down to his son, when it comes down to blood.
It is his choice. So we'll see how it affects the team as we go forward. But here's the news that, Nick, I wanted to get to, because this is involved. I don't think next to your family there's anybody that you hold nearer and dearer to your heart than one Tupac Shakur.
What about him? What's going on with him?
A new film is coming out that Tupac Shakur is actually alive and well and living as part of a Native American tribe in New Mexico.
We've heard these rumors for years.
Now, wait a minute. The dramatized documentary, Tupac, The Great Escape from UMC, says the Thug for Life rapper was informed about a planned hit on him when he did go to that Vegas trip in September of 96. It allowed him to plant a body double in the Death Road record label boss Suge Knight's car, still ending up in the medical center, but escaping, then taking an airlifted private chopper to New Mexico, where he would then take life under the protection of the Navajo tribe because authorities cannot enter tribal land without permission. So he has got basically clear immunity and no one can figure this out. The filmmaker insisted that the plot is not a wild fantasy, but facts gleaned through his close connection to Tupac Shakur's inner circle. He said it's not fiction. It's fact through certain people I know, and he's telling people as promotion for the film.
I mean, I guess I don't want to be too premature and absolutely crap all over this, but there's been rumors for years, and I would be very careful if I'm the production company or whatever platform that's going to be responsible for publishing it. Like, if I was Netflix, I'd be looking into this guy doing the documentary really closely and seeing what he has in terms of footage and facts, because I just don't believe it. And the other thing is, you're trying to tell me Tupac wants to stay out of the spotlight all these years if he's alive?
But you save his life. If he was still trying to do it in the business world, he might be passed away already.
Ah.
Now, the guy doing the film also said he knows rappers who collaborated with Shakur, including G-Money and Snoop Dogg, and his father knew the rapper's mom through their involvement with the Black Panther Party. Quote, let's just say, Mr. Shakur, the family is aware of the movie. They're okay with the title, so that should tell you more or less what's going on, as he continued to tell the TV station. Suge Knight, who was with him in the car that fateful night, has previously shared a similar theory that his friend could be alive.
That is so crazy. I would check it out just because it's Tupac. I mean, I would definitely check out the documentary if it actually makes publication and it actually gets.
Film is still in production, hoping for a release next year, so there's hope for you to see it. Has not persuaded everyone, however, including Richard Garcia, the actor playing Shakur in the reenactments, who still believes he was shot dead that night in Vegas.
Yeah, I think he's dead, but we've talked about it. There were some reports on his autopsy too that kind of justified that, but maybe I don't have that in front of me, but it'd be interesting to see. We've heard people fake their deaths before, but that guy is just. You have to talk about impact.
Oh, man.
When you talk about impact, even if you don't think Tupac is the best rapper to ever live, I'm that one guy that pushes that card probably a little too much because everybody knows how much I like Tupac. But even if that's the case, when you go to a foreign country right now and you say, name two Jay-Z songs, and T.I. actually, you know who I heard this from? T.I. T.I. said this on The Breakfast Club. If you go up to China or another foreign country right now and say, hey, sing me or name me two Jay-Z songs, he said there might be a little bit of a hesitation. But if you say, name me two Tupac songs, they can,
like that.
All Eyes on Me, California Love, right away, they'll just name two songs because the impact that Tupac had was crazy. And because of that alone, like, he's just too famous of a guy to hide for that long. But I would love to be proven wrong, but I doubt it.
Well, like Jake Asman, you're too famous of a guy to be hidden for too long either. That's why you're here with us. That's why we appreciate
Quick
you
show,
filling
fun
in
show.
For Barry. Yep, good stuff. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Tyler, we thank you very much. Tyler Scott behind the glass. Nick Shirara for Barry and myself, Joel Blank. We wish you guys a great evening and stay tuned. The Blitz is coming up next. They'll take you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know if they sniff their own farts or not.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.